For those who don't know me, my name is John. I have the privilege of being a happy husband to Krista for 32 years now. And we have two wonderful children who are both married. And hallelujah for that. Trust me, it's awesome. You give like 20 years of your life to your children. It's like, oh, it was all worth it. But yeah, it's great. Okay, open your Bibles with me, please. Anywhere is good. But if you can, go to Luke 8 on your laptop, in your cell phone. If you are on your phone, put it on airplane mode so that you don't get distracted. If you've got the pages, I was listening to one of the sermons from another congregation, and the guy was saying he likes to hear the rustling of pages, you know. So he says he's going to talk to these guys who make the Bible apps so that while you're scrolling through, it actually creates a sound of pages, you know. But I love technology. I've got about 14 translations on my little iPad here. Anyway, all right. Luke chapter 8. I'm going to share with you, we're going to do a little deep dive into the parable of the sower. How many of you are familiar with that passage? Okay. Do we have 20, 20, 25, 25, 35, 35? How many of you will never lift your hand up no matter what I ask you? Sorry, I've got to. My wife, Krista, said to me this morning, honey, just don't say something you shouldn't. I've always got the guys on the AVs saying, hey, just bleep that out and that out. I've got the same problem as Byron. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't. But anyway, blame our wonderful sense of humor. In my case, blame the Durbanites. They taught me this incredible, beautiful sense of humor, which sometimes gets me into some trouble. All right, Luke chapter 8. Let's get spiritual now. We're going to go from 4 to 15. We're going to read the whole passage and then do a little deep dive. Can I ask you to open your heart, specifically for those who know this passage? I'm always tested. That's what I wanted to share. I felt so convicted about somewhere last year, which was one of the gatherings, and I went to the gathering with the wrong heart. And this is what we're going to look at today, having the right heart. And I remember driving home, and I was so convicted, because I knew Andrew, or in my mind, I wanted like one of the main guys to preach, if you know what I'm saying. How many of you also feel that sometimes? It's like, come on, you know, we're there, let's hit, you know. And it was someone else who preached, I won't tell you who, but the guy did so well, and I was so convicted, because like I went with the wrong attitude. It's like, well, if this guy isn't preaching, then yeah. And I remember driving home, and I almost choked up. I was like, Lord, I'm so sorry. And my heart was wrong. But fortunately, in the meeting, I felt convicted. And then, you kind of opened your heart. And the guy did so well there. And so, for us who have known God for a while, sometimes you read passages that you know. But we've got to be so careful that we remain teachable and we remain open. Can I ask you to do that this morning? All right. From verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground. And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell on among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, it yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Now, that's a lovely little phrase that. Jesus is saying, in amongst the noise of life, he's kind of saying, this is important. All right? Let's read on, verse 9. His disciples, another translation says privately, asked him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good ground stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So there's four kinds of seeds here that Jesus is speaking of. And so I came up with a snazzy title, if you really want one, called, yeah, just go to the first page. There we go. The soil of your heart. Okay? Jesus speaks about our hearts being like soil. And the seed is going to come. All right? Now, let me just say this. My disclaimer is this. When Jesus says here, the seed is the word of God, it's primarily the Bible, but not just the Bible. If we are having coffee, which is always good, okay? And Byron says, John, can I speak into your life? Right there, it's seed. And if I'm wise, I'm going to receive that as a word of God, okay? And I go about my day and throughout the day, and all of a sudden I get a message from Ryan. And Ryan says, hey, John, I was praying for you, and I just felt to encourage you with this scripture. Right there, that's a word of God, okay? And then I carry on and throughout the day, and then all of a sudden Rihanna messages me, says, hey, John, I was praying for you last night, and you know, and she says, I just felt to pray this over you. Right there, that's a word from God. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're in a community, and in the community, someone says, I want to pray for you, or say something. And sometimes, the English has a good saying. It says, many a true word spoken in jest. I want to turn that on its head and bring that into Christian context. Many a true word of God spoken in jest. So if you're aware and you're awake, I believe God is speaking all the time, sometimes through our thoughts, sometimes through a song. Are you with me? Okay. However, I think in this passage, Jesus is saying there's something about his words that he speaks. And man, my first Bible I ever bought was the New King James Spirit-filled Bible, and it had the red letters of Jesus. And I remember opening it, and it was so special. It was like, this is cool as a new Christian. And I find myself, as I was well-discipled by my pastor, he says, John, take note of the words of Jesus more than anything else. And it was, I've still got it highlighted and colored in, and it's falling apart, but then Francois rescued it because he put a new cover on it. Get the words of Jesus deep down into your spirits, and that's part of this. So today we're going to do an audit of our hearts. Are you ready? Please put your hand on your chest here. Say this with me, Lord Jesus, help me to examine my heart. Holy Spirit, help me to be honest with myself. Your word, Lord, is a mirror, and I look into it now, and I say, search me, help me to change, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You get that? You do that every time you read God's word, God is going to help you. The worst thing we can do is read God's word and not change. Then we're reading it wrong, and we're receiving it wrong. So today is going to be an audit of our hearts. I want to say this, the condition of your heart will determine the fruitfulness of your life. The condition of your heart will determine the fruitfulness of your life. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, or like some people we used to call them, home executives, or director of home affairs. A whole other twist to that, hey? Are you with me? Or you're in business, okay? Or you're working for someone? The condition of your heart will determine the fruitfulness of all of that. If you're a husband, a father, a wife, a mother, you're working for someone. Be careful of being so busy that your heart gets affected in this life. And that the words that come from God and the word of God cannot take root like it needs to and it should in your heart. Okay, let's look at the four kinds of soils. The first one is the path. Some seeds are thrown on the path or sown on the path, and verse 12 says, Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. So I want to say this path, the path that Jesus is speaking about is the same as this. Remember when I've spoken about Psalm 23, where it says, he leads me in his path for righteous sake? Here's how it worked. In the Bible lands, the shepherd would many times create a new safe path if the sheep didn't know. And he would walk ahead, and the next day walk ahead. And eventually the sheep, because there's a little bit of a path, they would recognize that path. And the shepherd would then actually hold back a little because they know the path. Get that? Okay? It's that kind of path. It's not the road. It's not the tar. We're going to look at that now. It's that path in the felt, if I can speak like that. Okay? So this path, something can grow there, but probably not. And here's why. It's hard. It's been trodden on a lot. And Jesus says here, the seed that falls on this kind of heart, the hardened heart, what happens is they hear it, but then the devil comes and takes it away from their hearts. The seed could not germinate in the ground. Be careful of a hardened heart. Here's what happens. If we're not careful, here are some things that will harden your heart, guaranteed. First one is resentment.
Yeah, but John, you don't know what she did to me.
But Jesus does. And Jesus calls us to take the low road and to be humble and forgive. There's no condition to that.
Yeah, but John, that guy in business, he took 2 million rand from me.
I've had someone take 900,000 rand from me. And I forgave. 100%. No reservations. How about you? Some of you have passed those tests. I know of some of you that have written those tests. If we're not careful and we don't forgive, and if someone wants to, Jesus says, if someone wants to take your cloak, give them your jacket too. In business, you're going to write tests that if you don't pass those tests, your heart will become hard. Be careful. Okay? How about this? Not dealing with life's pressures well. Man, I know some of the home executives, stay-at-home moms, you guys are busy. You girls are running around. But be careful that you don't get so busy that your heart becomes hard. For the young people here, those at school, there are real pressures at school. And all the school children said, you want to say amen. Amen is like so beard. It's like, yeah, what's new, John? All right. I know. Yeah, we've been there. Different era, but we had similar pressures. Deal with pressures well. The Bible is full of truths that if we just apply them to our lives, you will find a solution and a strategy for all of life's challenges. Behind every problem, there's a promise. And like I've shared on suffering, sometimes you just need to go through the suffering because God wants to create character in us. Here's another two things that will harden your heart. Allowing joyless routine to rule your life. I remember chatting with someone and saying, John, but life's so hard. I said, bro, you've lost your joy. Yeah, but John, if you don't know what I'm going through. I said, yeah, but Jesus does. And Jesus tells us to consider it pure joy when we face trials and tribulations of many kinds. I think joy is the currency of the kingdom of God. Not so? And all the joyful ones said, come on, let's fake it just for 5 seconds. How are you? Fine. Blessed. No, just be real. Okay? Joy is sometimes unseen, which is actually I prefer because it's probably going to last longer. Okay? But have joy. We all know the lemonade scenario. If life's throwing you lemons, make lemonade. We've heard those things. But doing it is hard. It's when you're in it. It's like, John, you don't know. No. We know. We've been through our fair share of pawpaw. It's hard. But Jesus says, this life, he says, tribulation will come. Thank you, Jesus. How encouraging. At least he tells us the truth, you know. All right. And then the last little thing that's going to harden your heart is good old-fashioned negativity. You've met some people like it. No matter what they, no matter how you speak to them or what you say, they've always got something negative. Be careful of that. All right? In ministry, I don't know about you, Byron, but I struggle with this sometimes. When I know I've got to reach out to someone, and it's no one in this room, by the way. Maybe. Let me not lie. No one comes to mind in this room. And I know I'm reaching out, and as shepherds, we call to look after people. But I know, like, Lord, this person is so negative. What can I do to just make their day? Guys, life is hard. And if you want friends, be friendly, be light. Have fun. Man, we can dance in the rain. I'll dance with you, man. But let's have some joy. Are you with me? Be careful that negativity doesn't grab a hold of you. All right? It's so easy. It's so easy to allow negativity to take a hold of our hearts. So that's the hardened ground. The second heart is this rocky ground. So here's what happens. Jesus says in verse 13, those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. Okay? Oh, hallelujah, John. I've been preaching the gospel for about 30 years now. Is it 30? Again, let me not lie. It is 30, yeah. Sorry, honey. Thank you. And I would much rather have no hallelujahs and amens, but changed lives. Seriously, I'm way beyond trying to find out if, was that good enough? And obviously, I submit to leaders, but please feel free to still say amen if you want to, if you really get excited about God's word like I do. But I'd much rather have 100 changed lives than 5 people shouting hallelujah and throwing money at me, okay? You keep your money in your pocket, bro. How about he joking? You with me? And as the word comes here, which this is the rocky ground, temporary excitement without revelation, a deep revelation or understanding, will make you vulnerable when the pawpaw wants to hit the fan in your life. That's the Greek word, pawpaw hitting the fan. When life is turned up and the heat is turned up, if you don't have a deep, deep, deep revelation of what you've heard and read, it's not going to last, friends. Here's one of the best things you can do in any setting. Man, on my phone, and I'll show you now if you really want to. You know, with Samsung, you get notes. You know that notes thing? Okay, in Samsung, with Android, you get an app called Notes. Thank you. I'm always writing little things there. Go read this. Think of that. Barron's message last week, which was almost like a summary of what God is doing. I've learned. Write it down. Here's what happens. Whilst the word is coming or in the community, God, by his spirit, is putting in your heart and your mind little things to think of, meditate on. Write it down. And one of the things that our family, we've done all the years, especially when the kids were smaller, around the lunch table, what did God speak to you about today in the message? And we've learned to share this as a way of life. And I've kind of just subconsciously thought, that's going to be what I'm going to think of for the next few days. Get into that healthy habit. So if you're making notes, I won't get offended while you're writing on your phone, as long as you're not on Facebook or Twitter. You with me? Write it down. Here's why. Statistics show that you remember only a fraction of what you hear. But when you write it down and you hear it, you will be able to remember with revelation up to 75% of what was said. Write it down. Write it down. And I would especially, if I feel God prodding things in my heart, it's like I put a little star there. That means, Selah, pause and think calmly about this. And John, you're probably going to need to repent again about that thing, okay? And just be honest with yourself. We're all a work in progress, okay? None of us have arrived. Promise you, none of us have arrived. There's always areas that God wants to work on. So the shallow heart, here's the challenge. We need to move beyond surface level excitement. Ooh, what a great message. Ooh, what a great worship time we had. What a great meeting. To just dwell on it a little longer. Like coffee that gets percolated. No one puts the percolator on and starts pouring coffee after 30 seconds. I don't know about you, but I hate weak coffee. Hey, isn't it? Am I the only one? I don't want to say where, but I went to a place and I asked them for a flat white. And it honestly, it was the most disgusting. It felt like water with a little few granules of coffee in. I nearly went to the manager, but then I chose to go the extra mile and just smile and say, could I please have another coffee? I think there's something wrong with this one. Think about and meditate on God's word. Like that percolator, let it simmer, all right? Like a slow cooker curry and rice that you make on a Sunday afternoon. John, we're getting hungry now. Yes, I know. All right? Let it simmer, man. Hold it in your spirit. Hold it deep. Make it personal, all right? That's how you move beyond this. It's the only way. Be careful of temporary excitement. And you would have noticed in Josh Jen, we don't hype things. Why? We want real, man. If we're going to get excited, we get excited because we are excited. But I'm not going to get excited because Baron's excited. No, I'm going to get excited because I love my Jesus and he deserves my praise. And I'm going to dance and I'm going to sing and I'm going to shout and I'm going to kneel and do all of the above because I love my Savior. You with me? It's real. It's not this temporary thing that comes and goes like the wind. That's what this is about, this heart. This heart, because there's no revelation, there's no root, it can't go deep. How about you in your life? How deep are the revelations that God has spoken to you yesterday, last week, 2 weeks ago? Can you remember what was preached? I remember one guy saying to me, yeah, John, you always remember what people say. And I humbly just say, it's because I write it down and I make notes. I can remember what Andrew preached on that Sunday and what Baron shared on last week and what Gary shared. Make it part of your life. And if you really want to be serious, watch this. Never say this. Oh, well, it's just Gary preaching. I've made that mistake. I shared with you earlier. Whoever's speaking, choose to believe that God is speaking through that person to you. You never know who's going to share what. I've seen a new convert, prophesy into my life as an elder. And I was like, wow. And he says, I don't know if that's right. I don't know if that's true, but this is what I feel. I said, Prue, you have no idea. Thank you. He goes away. God can use anybody. In the Bible, he used a donkey. He wrote on a wall. He caused the walls of a city to fall within itself. There are countless stories in the Bible. God's trying to get our attention. And whoever he wants to use, say to yourself, God, I'm going to open myself, not naively. I'm going to open myself and I'm going to discern. When truth comes, I'm going to let it settle deep, deep, deep down in my heart and make it personal. If you don't make it personal, it's just information. But when you make it personal, it's, God, I want to change. I don't know about you, but I still need changing. Ask the person next to you, do you need to change more? Be honest now. Don't say no, because then you're lying. We'll remind you very quickly about some of the areas you need to change in. I need to change a lot more. Okay? We're all wanting to change. I'll say that again. If you don't take truth and make it personal, it's just information. But when you take it and you let it change you and you say, Holy Spirit, this is what I've heard today. Show me in my life where I need to change. Okay? Make it personal. All right, how are we doing for time? We're doing well. Okay. Third one is the suffocated heart among thorns. This gets interesting. Now, Tony, where are you? Tony, you are here. Tony is our resident garden doctor. What is that right? What do you call yourself? The garden guru doctor. What? Hey? I can't hear. What is he saying? Cape Garden doctor. We spend a bit of time every 2 weeks and I help him with some of the marketing aspects of his business. Am I right, Tony? Watch this. Weeds and thorns come unwelcomed. Say that again to everyone. He's, okay, there we go. We had our gardener with us, Lovemore, on Tuesday. And I looked out last weekend and I'm like, where do all these weeds come from? Lovemore says to me, John, every year they come. It's like, okay. And he says, every year, all the gardens he works on, they're going to come during winter. The weeds and the thorns in your life will come. But it's up to you to weed them out. Don't get spiritual. Well, I'll just choose to believe that if the elders are blessed, I'm going to be blessed. No, 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 no. You need to tend to your own garden. In the week, I said to Barend, I've been meditating on just one truth. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says this, be sober, be vigilant, for your enemy, like a lion, goes around seeking whom he may devour. And I shared at the elders' meeting. I said, there's something that we need to do that God can't do. God can't be sober for you. God can't be vigilant for you. That's for you. You've got to be on your alert and say, what are the weeds? What are the thorns that are coming to ruin the seed of the word of God that's trying to be sown in my life? Okay? Are you ready? Let's have a look at this. Verse 14, Jesus says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasure. There's a few things here. I want to say this. You and I, we don't just all of a sudden become cold towards God. There's no such thing as an overnight lukewarm Christian. It doesn't happen. It happens slowly over a period of time. Here's what happens. If you're not careful, the weeds and the thorns, which are the worries, the pressures, and even riches, will choke and try to steal the seed of the word of God in your heart, in your life. We've seen this. We live in an affluent community. I've had to go to a few people over the years. I say, my friend, on bended knee, I say to you now, please don't let riches steal your spiritual inheritance that you have in God. Some have listened, some haven't. Okay? Be careful. It's good to go away, but when you're going away every second weekend, there's something wrong. The house of God, the church, the family of God is not a priority in your life anymore. Those are the things that will choke the seed. And what happens with weeds and thorns, you can talk to our resident garden doctor. It seals in your garden so much that the seed that should have grown is now overcrowded with the weeds and the thorns. The weeds will fight to get all the sunlight, all the nutrients, so that the seed of the word of God won't grow in your life. Okay? Now, there's two Greek words if you really want to be fancy this morning. I'm not going to spell them. You can just listen. Cares and worries is the Greek word. Merimnao. I'm not going to repeat that. It means this, to divide, to distract the mind, and to split your focus. That's literally what it means. So you're busy with so many things, and there's so many riches, or there's so many other stuff that's in the garden of your heart, there's more weeds and thorns than seeds. There's a problem. You've allowed it. You need to get love more and pull out the weeds. You do it. You need to tend your heart. You need to check, God, are there any weeds? Are there any thorns in my heart that's preventing the seed from growing properly? Okay? Next little Greek word, choke, me is this. To suffocate, to smother, and throttle. The Greek word for that is sumpnigo. Clearly, I didn't take Greek at school. It means this, like an intruder in your home, grabbing you around the throat and cutting off the oxygen from you. That's what it means to choke. Be careful of riches. Be careful of wealth. Be careful of hobbies that take all your time and your energy. Be careful of any weed that's trying to choke the word of God in your life. Last soil is this. The good soil. Okay, now you can put a smile on your face. This is the good part. Come on, we're all there. Of course, John. You ready? Jesus says in verse 15, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart. Can you see the humility there? Okay. Who hear the word, and I love this, retain it. And by, here's the disclaimer, perseverance or persevering produces a crop. We spent 2 years in Swellendam, and I've got so much respect for farmers. You have no idea the struggles they go through. Where's Sebastian? Sebastian? Am I right, ne? Die Swellendam boere. They go through, I mean, every year there's a new challenge. And they persevere. But next spring, they're sowing again. And they're sowing again. It's fascinating. Good soil doesn't just happen in your heart. You've got to cultivate it. Here's a few things that you've got to do. You've got to cultivate it. You've got to add nutrients to the soil of your heart. Keep it healthy. Okay? By the way, if you haven't noticed, I'm very proud of my wife. She's helped me to lose 7 kilograms in 7 weeks. Okay? I give her all the credits, all right? We're on like this strict diet, and I was forced to eat a pancake, so that's my confession for today. I was doing so well, but I've only had 2 slices of bread in 7 weeks. And so, yeah, I think it's good to give credit where credit is due. Thanks, honey. Here's what it means to have a good and a noble heart. It's this. When you say, and you in moments like this or later or during the week, speak, Lord, I'm ready to change. That's a good heart. That's a noble heart. Okay? Some of the things you need to do in your heart as you till your heart. Okay. For those who are Afrikaans, to till your heart has got nothing to do with paying at the checkout at Pick n Pay. Die pastoor het gesê, ons moet ons hart til. Hoeveel kos dit? Okay, I'm being funny now. Please don't throw stones. To till your heart means to work the soil and put oxygen back in the soil. Help me, Tony. Hey, am I right? You need the right equipment and it needs air, okay? And once a year in my garden, I've got to put topsoil because there in beautiful Sunningdale, it's just beach sand. So once a year, all the garden services, they get happy because everyone's wanting to put topsoil on their soil. It means removing the weeds. And I remember telling Lovemore on Tuesday, I said, Brew, don't take out the good grass, just the weeds. He says, yeah, John, I know. So it's like, okay. You look at your garden of your heart and you turn and you remove the weeds. You put nutrients in. You till the soil. You water it. You've got to water. It's Jesus says in one of the epistles, he says, by the washing of the word over us. All right? There's so many incredible scriptures that speaks of this. All right. That's the last soil. I want to ask you on this one with the good soil. Commit to long-term work. The long-term continuous work of cultivating your heart rather than demanding instant results. The best thing you can do is get some guys. Our Clarence and I, we meet every Wednesday morning. He says, John, disciple me. I said, great, let's do it. And he speaks into my life and I speak into his most of the time. But he'll say, John, is there anything in my life that you need to speak into? That's a good heart. Husbands and wives, do that. Husbands, it's time for you to say to your wife, how am I doing as your husband? And then strap yourself in that she's going to be honest. Wives, say to your husband, how am I doing as a husband? This is what a good heart is. Go to your staff and say, guys, how am I doing as your boss? They're going to be honest with you. Do you treat them fairly? Ask your children, how am I doing as your father or your mother? Don't be both, because there's a problem if you are both. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. If you're a man, you're a father. If you're a woman, you're a mother. That's all signs of a good heart in your community. Go to your community leader. Bryce, Jess, is there anything in my life that you want to speak into? That's a good heart. You see this? filters through all the areas of your life. All right, close your Bibles. Are you ready? We're going to worship. Worship team, you can come out to the front. I want to ask you a few questions while they're coming to the front. Let's listen to this. Before God, we're going to take the next few moments in worship, and we're going to do two things. We're going to worship God, Jesus, our Savior, but we're also going to examine our hearts, okay? Here's a few questions to ponder on. Which soil best describes the condition of your heart today? Which soil best describes the condition of your heart right now? And that changes, okay? Are you ready to change? Will you say, Jesus, change my heart today? Are you ready to repent of a hardened heart? Are you ready to repent of a temporary and a fake excitement without fully understanding truth? Are you ready to repent of allowing riches or pleasure like thorns to choke your heart? And are you ready to repent of worry or stress that has suffocated your heart? That's when God's word will really take root in our lives and produce fruit. This is probably, as Barrent and I were sharing before the meeting, this lies at the very crux of who you are as a Christian. You can worship Jesus. You can be in a church. You can do all the right things. But if you're not alone with Jesus, presenting your heart to him with an open Bible, I want to say on a daily basis, if you can, just constantly reading the scriptures, allowing God's words to take root in your heart, you're not going to grow as a Christian. And the struggles you have will remain struggles for the rest of your life. But you can grow with a good heart by taking those truths and really letting it become so deep that, like the Bible says, your house, your life is built on the rocks. And when the storms come, not if, when the storms come, you're able to stand. This is the heart of the Christian life. Jesus says tribulation will come.